Good morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord today. I want to welcome all of you here this morning to Calvary. If you are a guest, please let our ushers know. We are so thankful that you're here with us to worship this morning. There are announcements that are on the back of your bulletin. I would just ask that you just take note of those. I'm not sure of any other announcements. Are there any other announcements that need to be lifted this morning? Okay.
Just a reminder, April 30th, we're having our community block party from 10 to 4. And I'm still calling people asking if you can help. We would love everybody to come out and help present the church to the community. And we have a meeting again tomorrow night at 6:30 here at the church. If you're interested in coming and seeing what we're doing, we're going to have a lot of great activities for the youth and the community and for the adults, and we'll be telling them about our church and all the ministries we have going on in the church. So please, everybody, come on out.
Okay, thank you, Tracy. There's also a flyer that's inside the bulletin that's listed some of the things that are needed for the block party on April 30th. If there are no other announcements, let's go ahead and go into our opening words. Oh, I'm so sorry. Let's do a hymn first.
Okay. We are not going to sing the hymn that's in the bulletin. We're going to sing number 622. There is a fountain filled with blood. We'll sing 1, 3, and 5.
Put that on that little stand for you.
Okay. Lord, save us from ourselves. We continue to do the same things over and over, expecting different results. Lord, save us from doing too much. We go fishing every day, not noticing you waiting with a meal on the beach. Lord, save us from doing too little. We say we love you, and yet so often we neglect your sheep. Lord, save us from ourselves. Help us to hear and respond when you say, follow me. Amen. And now to our affirmation of faith, which is on page 889. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen.
God's there for our prayers, mm-hmm. to help us in every way. And sometimes we pray for something.
because he knows what's best for us.
Amen.
When you want something really, really bad, if you give it to God, I'll bet you he'll answer it, and it might be even better than you thought. So let's just bow our heads. Good morning, Lord. We just thank you for these wonderful children. Please keep them safe and sound and happy all week, and they come back next Sunday. We ask you, Lord, to help them to do your will and to know your will. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please come forward. Y'all look way too serious.
We keep you around the bridge.
Let us pray. Spirit of life and of love, we give you thanks for all of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And at this moment, we give back to you just a portion of all the love, all the care, all the resources that you kindly give to us. All these things we bring to you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'll let you two split plates. All right.
Car accident 3 weeks ago.
She gonna turn the mic on?
Noah brought me out of a car accident 3 weeks ago, and I was on my way from school, and somebody hit me from behind, knocked me into another vehicle, but the Lord brought me through. Sore, but I thank God for bringing me through.
One thing we want you to know is that it's not about the love of power. It's about the power of love. And that's the word of that. Jimi Hendrix said that.
Thank you.
My Lord.
Amen.
More power. Is that what you said? Yeah. All right. Well, if he said that and you believe that, then I think we need a little more oomph. All right? So I don't want the polite church. That was nice. See, if you believe that, then how do we applaud when we believe that this is our Lord? Is that different? That's Calvary UMC right there. So now let us center ourselves and let us go to this great and powerful Lord in prayer. Most wondrous and abiding Spirit, our source of love and of life, we come before you this day, humbled by your willingness to dwell among us, and in awe of your willingness to dwell within us. We come before you, thankful for the beauty and magnificence of your creation, grateful for all the blessings you have bestowed and continue to bestow upon us. As we enjoy these early days of spring, we are mindful of your love of this earth, of every creature that dwells upon it, and of every plant and flower that comes forth from it. We see your love of diversity and uniqueness in the colorful April flowers, in the lilies and tulips, the hydrangeas and daffodils. We hear your love of music in the sounds of morning birds and spring showers, the hum of bumblebees, the rush of the ocean. We feel your love of all creation in the warm touches of our furry friends, the warmth of the noonday sun, and the embrace of cooling breezes. It is your love, Great Spirit, that nurtures us, soothes us, inspires us, and we give you praise. Most merciful and compassionate Spirit, our hope and our strength, we bring before you at this time the challenges and concerns that rest within our minds and within our hearts, whether they are spoken or unspoken. We lay them before you, Great One, knowing that you are with each one of us in need, that you suffer with us and with all of your children through hardship, through turmoil, through grief. We pray this day that those who know you are comforted by your presence, by your embrace, and by the material and human resources that you have so graciously given for the benefit of every life. We pray this day that those who do not know you awaken to your Spirit, bask in your grace and forgiveness, and come to know how much you love and are present for them and for all of your children. Transforming and enlightening Spirit, God who makes all things new, we pray that the new life we witness throughout this season continually remind us of your ability and desire to restore and to renew us. Help us to feel your Spirit within us, and to let it work for our healing and transformation. Inspire us, gracious one, to share your mercy and love with every creature we encounter. Empower us to live as ones created in your image and to be your representatives in our homes, our communities, our nation, and around the world. All this we bring to you as we join with Christians around the world in praying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
All right, we're going to do something yet a little different. If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 378, we're going to sing Amazing Grace. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 5.
Give Andy and the choir a shout out, because every time I come here, we just mix up the hymns and stuff. And I'm going to give you guys a shout out because you roll with it, and I love that. I love that. And I'm gonna mix things up a little bit more, because we're in the book of Jeremiah today.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Right. Got to say hallelujah to Jeremiah because he was a weeping prophet. He prayed and he prayed and he gave messages to God, or for God, I guess I should say, to the people. And the messages that the people didn't necessarily want to hear. See how it gets quiet? It's like, oh.
It's like, oh.
You got one of those messages for us. And in a way, I do have one of those messages for you. But I also have another message as well. And this is one of those times, if you talk to somebody from the 8:30 service, and then you share what you hear here with them, and they'll be like, were you at Calvary? I didn't hear that. Because see, I'm not only a long-winded preacher, but I'm a serial kind of preacher.
All right.
So I have like 5-10 sermons in me, and usually I put them all together at once. So part of it was at 8:30, and part of it will be now. All right? So we're going to stay in Jeremiah, but I'm actually going to read Jeremiah 38.
Jeremiah kind of came to me. I was going to preach today on Paul, who's one of my favorites. And the lectionary today is on Paul. But God said, no, you need to preach Jeremiah. And I said, that's exciting. That's such a fun book for spring, isn't it? It's not. Yeah. So I have to do what God tells me to do, see? Because I've tried not doing that. Believe me, I've tried. I've tried for years not doing that. And it just doesn't work out. So now when God says, do it, I do it. Amen. And my friends think I'm crazy. They'll tell you that. They're like, she's crazy. But it is what it is. So I feel for Jeremiah. He is one of the great prophets. He was a priest, right? He could wear the robes, priestly robes. Yes. He could do all of that. And he's called by God to go to Judah, to a land of the temple in Jerusalem, a land that birthed King David and King Solomon, the great kings of Israel. And he's called to go and tell them not how wonderful they are, how great they are, how much everybody wants to be like them. No, he's called to go and tell them, you know what? It's over, dude. It's over. You didn't listen to God. You didn't pay attention to God. And now God's heart is broken. And you know what happens when God's heart is broken? It gets ugly. It gets nasty. Because God kind of says, you know what? You know so much. You just go right on out there. You do it yourself, Judah. And Judah would fall. The Babylonians would come and occupy the land and send most of the Jews in Jerusalem and elsewhere off. Because they'd spread you out all over the place. So then you lose all your kin to your people, to your culture. And that's what was to happen. And Jeremiah was called to give this message. And it wasn't a very easy message to give. Because we don't like to hear bad news, do we? Uh-uh. Everything's always fine. Everything's always great, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, because you have to do like this. We walk around like this all the time. How are you? I'm just fine. How are you? I'm just fine. Yes. Well, have a nice day. Yeah, you too. Yeah. That's all sweet, isn't it? And if somebody starts crying or somebody looks a little sad or somebody looks down, somebody actually starts telling you what's wrong with them, what do? Oh, well, that's nice. I got to go. I'll pray for you. Does that help? Good when somebody says, I'll pray for you. Amen. Come on now. Come on. Be honest now. Be honest. If you come up here after the sermon and you just lay your heart out to me, Pastor LaRonda, I don't know. I lost my job. I lost my house. I'm sick. My husband's sick. I pat you on the head. I say, that's nice. I'll pray for you. Now I got to get to lunch and I'll talk to you later. That makes you feel good? Huh? So Jeremiah has to go and he has to relay this bad news as a priest, as a prophet. And it's not easy to relay bad news. And I'm sure Pastor Esther will tell you, any pastor will tell you. Because we're part of establishments, as they say. And you're part of establishments, aren't you? Schools and what else do you do? Work and, aren't you? You guys don't do anything. You look like you don't do anything. That's why you're looking at me. Like you don't know what I'm talking about. And establishments can be crazy and scary kind of places. All right? Remember the last time I was here and I talked to you about getting into trouble? That if you're a Christian, you're often going to get into trouble. Because you're going to open your mouth like Jeremiah opened his mouth. And you're going to say things that people don't want to hear. You're going to do things that people don't want you to do. You're going to stand up for yourself. Imagine that. Right? Y'all just going to bow. Somebody says,
for us to do. Because we're taught, be quiet, keep your mouth shut, stay in your own lane, do what you're told. This is true. This is true. And I'm one of those people, even when I'm in my lane, you know how other people drive it into your lane and you're like, ah! Right? They don't use a blinker. So you have to kind of stay in your lane, right? That's the idea. Right? But in life, can we always stay in our lane? Can we? And when we get out of the lane, we get in trouble like Jeremiah does. So Jeremiah speaks the words that God wants him to speak. And some folks in Judah get really pissed off. And yes, I said pissed off in the pulpit. I can't believe she said pissed off. Did you hear what she said? I'm being mild-mannered today. Right? People didn't want to hear that. Am I going to get in trouble again? Again? Yay. I love to get in trouble anymore. I do. Y'all think I'm joking. Now, I've been doing this internship at a hospital in Atlanta for since January. And I'm already in trouble, y'all. Because I open my mouth. I see things. I see things. And then I'm stupid enough to say something. Like I don't think y'all should be doing it that way. You know, I don't think that's a good idea. I think y'all should be a little more friendly. And folks are like, shut up. We don't want to hear that. There are people above us. People above us. They tell us what to do. And in hospitals, you know, who runs the hospital? Oh, in Orange Park, this is true. This is true. I got off the elevator and there was his picture. I'm like, that's wrong. But except for Orange Park, who runs the hospital? God, see, that's the good answer. That's the right answer. That's who should run it, doesn't it? Right? But who most people think runs? The administrators, the doctors, the lawyers, the powerful people. Not God. So keep your mouth shut, but stay out of trouble. They set the rules, don't they? Jeremiah was no different. He was raised in the same kind of society. You follow the rules of the political establishment, the religious establishment, whoever it is. And when you go to deliver bad news and you say to people, you know what? God's upset. God's in despair. Somebody called it exhausted grief. God's so tired. God's grieving because the same thing over and over and over again. And you're my people, God said. So God grieves and Jeremiah grieves. But he gives the message that God wants him to give. It leads him to house arrest. It leads him to be mocked and to be ridiculed. The passage I have in the bulletin for you, you go home and you read that passage. Do something amazing, amazing, amazing for any of us to do during the week. Pick up the Bible and read something. I'm not joking. And I'm a pastor, and it's hard to do it. But pick it up and read it. And that's the passage for today. But I kind of veered a little bit because I think what Jeremiah is trying to say through his words to these people is that there's going to be turmoil. There's going to be grief. There's going to be death and heartache. Lost jobs, lost homes. There are going to be things that are uncontrollable. Fires and hurricanes and
tornadoes. Because, see, Jeremiah would say, and I'm going to say, that's life. And we've gotten where we don't want to live anymore. We're afraid. We're afraid of everybody. How many people don't even know their neighbors? Much less anybody else. We're afraid to go anywhere. Better not go out after dark. Better not go out too early in the morning. Better not get in that traffic. So we stay in and we lock our doors and we stay behind closed doors and gates to keep the world out. And just like Jeremiah said to Judah, I say to you, that doesn't work. The world's going to come in anyway. We can lock all the doors we want, and one day we're going to die anyway. You can't lock death out. It doesn't work. So Jeremiah gives the news that people don't want to hear. And one of the cruelest things that they do to Jeremiah for speaking the truth is what I'm going to read to you right now. And that's Jeremiah chapter 38, verses 2 through 13. I can always tell the Baptists because the Baptists have their Bibles. The Methodists are like, read it to me. Would you read it to me? I could read anything. And then what would that do? You go out to lunch with the Baptist and you say, she read from Jeremiah and it said, and they'll say, that doesn't say that. You'd be like, oh, right? I'm teasing, but I'm not teasing. You know what I mean? All right, so Jeremiah 38, 1 through 13, or 2 through 13, I'm sorry. The Lord proclaims, whoever stays in this city will die by the sword, famine, and disease. But whoever surrenders to the Babylonians will live. Yes, their lives will be spared. The Lord proclaims, this city will certainly be handed over to the army of Babylon's king, who will capture it. Then the official said to the king, this man, Jeremiah, must be put to death. By saying such things, he is discouraging the few remaining troops left in the city, as well as all the people. This man doesn't seek their welfare, but their ruin. He's in your hands, King Zedekiah said, for the king can do nothing to stop you. So they seized Jeremiah, threw him into the cistern of the royal prince Malchi, within the prison quarters, and lowered him down by ropes. Now, there wasn't any water in the cistern, only mud. And Jeremiah began to sink into the mud. Abed-Melech, the Cushite, a court official in the royal place, got word that they had thrown Jeremiah into the cistern. Since the king was sitting at the gate, Abed-Melech left the palace and said to the king, my master the king, these men have made a terrible mistake in treating the prophet Jeremiah the way they have. They have thrown him into the cistern, where he will die of starvation, for there's no bread left in the city. Then the king commanded Abed-Melech the Cushite, take 30 men from here, and take Jeremiah the prophet out of the cistern before he dies. So he took the men and returned to the palace, to an underground supply room where he found some old rags and scraps of clothing. He lowered them down the cistern by the ropes and called to Jeremiah, put these old rags and scraps of clothing under your arms and hold on to the ropes. When Jeremiah did this, they pulled him up by the ropes and got him out of the cistern. After that, Jeremiah remained in the prison quarters. These are the words of life. You're supposed to say, thanks be to God. Don't say it with some enthusiasm. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
All right. It's hard to say thanks be to God to that, isn't it? They're listening to something. say the crazy one's here today, right? You're used to something different, right? We don't want to say anything like that. Thanks be to God to a passage like that. A man of God being thrown into a pit. Can you imagine being thrown into a mud pit? And you just sink, right? You're going to suffocate in mud. And that's only chapter 38. And we keep on going, and Jeremiah keeps talking. And he keeps getting punished. There's no end to the heartache. There's no end to the mud. And I say to you, there's no end to the mud for us. For life is a mud pit. Or several mud pits. If you've been in war, it's like a beautiful field with landmines planted all around. Right? You go out for a walk. Go strolling along. La la la. La 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 la. Boom! Right? That's the way life is. But see how quiet everybody gets? Because nobody wants to hear that. Right? We want to come in and somebody's going to say, oh, everything's going to be fine. I'll just pray for you and pat you on the head, whatever it is. It'll all be okay. Stop your whining. Jesus rose in 3 days. You can get over it in 3 days, right? You ever heard that one? But everything isn't fine, is it? Is everything fine for you? Is everything fine for your family, for your friends? Everything isn't fine. And as people of faith, just like Jeremiah, we have an obligation. We've made a commitment to open our eyes and to look around. We've made a commitment to say, when we see things that are wrong, to say, when we hear comments that shouldn't be made, to act, when we see somebody in need, we made that commitment. Didn't we? Didn't we? Yeah. Feel like I'm talking to myself up here. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. All right. And I know it's hard to hear. Because it's easier to just forget about it. I can't save the world. I can't change anything. You want me to go talk back to somebody, all I'm going to do is get fired. I can't change an institution. Somebody told me about a little girl, and she mentors. And the little girl had gone to school, and people had said some things that were out of sorts. You know what I mean? And she spoke up. And she said, I told them, you know, you shouldn't say things like that. And I was in shock. I was like, she did what? She had the courage to do that? But she did. And it takes courage to live in this world. And I want you to live in this world. Not exist. Not get in the mud pit and just stay in the mud pit. While you're down in the mud pit, you can grieve. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to cry. But you know what else? You know who's in that mud pit with you. Don't you? You know who is crying along with you. Don't you? Who's just as hurt as you are. Who grieves the way you grieve. You know the person that no matter what landmine you hit, what mud pit you fall into, that will always be there with you. And there's no one else that can be there all the time. No spouse, no child, no parent. Only one. And Jeremiah knew that. Jeremiah knew that even though he was going to be ridiculed and laughed at and put under house arrest and thrown into, he put him in the stocks even at some point. You know where you're in public and your head's through that little thing like that? Then they throw him into the pit. And he kept speaking. He kept saying what was right and what needed to be said. He kept acting in the way that God wants us to act. And I'm here to tell you, it is extremely hard. I know that. And I'm not telling you to do anything that I don't try to do myself, that I don't at times fail at doing myself. It's taken me 52 years, but now I speak. And sometimes it hurts to speak, but I speak. All right? Because the difference is, we're always going to have mud pits. We're always going to have landmines. We're always going to have people who ridicule and mock us. We're always going to have hurt and grief and pain. But the difference is, when we know the God that Jeremiah knew, when we know the God that died on the cross for us, when we know that God, we know it's going to be okay. Yeah. I'd rather go in the pit. I'd rather speak my mind. I'd rather not walk in fear and be thrown in the pit with the God that I love. Yeah. Remember, there was an old spiritual. Before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. And as pastors, as preachers, we're called on to ask you to be free, to not fear, to walk with your head up, to say what needs to be said, to do what needs to be done, no matter what the cost, because it's going to hurt anyway. You're going to be in the mud pit anyway. That's part of living. Your heart's never been broken. What if you've never been in love? Would you rather just not be in love? That's the people we've become. That's the society we've become. So I ask you to remember what you sung 2 weeks ago, what you sing ever so often. I want you to remember a song and to keep it in your head and to keep pushing, to speak and to act without fear. Because we forget 2 weeks, 3 weeks after Easter, who rose. We forget. If I hear one more person tell me, well, you know, that's the system. Well, you know, you can't change it. Well, you know, I don't know why you always doing that. You're just going to get into trouble. You're going to get me into trouble. You know, you. And the same people sit in church every Sunday. We wonder why people disparage us, why people don't understand why we do what we do as Christians. It's hard for them to understand. If we follow the world on Monday, we only follow God on Sunday. We give the world Monday through Saturday. We have to be willing
to be God's people every day. To not walk in fear. We're going to close today with a different hymn. And that hymn is going to be Because He Lives. And many of you sung it a couple of weeks ago. Lilies going everywhere and folks all dressed up, happy. He rose. Yes, He rose. He rose. Yeah, that's nice that He rose. But He didn't rise for us to be a bunch of wimps. He didn't rise for us to hold our head down. He didn't rise for us to be afraid to look at people. He didn't rise for us to be afraid to care about people. He rose so we could be free, so we could have courage, so we could have strength. Because He lives, I can do what? Face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, nobody has to tell me, I know who holds my future, who holds the future. And life, every day of it, be it bad, be it good, be it sunny, be it rainy, be it walking through that beautiful field or hitting the landmine, be it stuck in that pit, every day of life is worth the living. Why? Because you own a nice car, you own a nice house, you got a good job. Is that why it's worth the living? Why is it worth the living? Because He lives. So let's remember when we leave here and we go out there. Who lives? Who lives? All right. And I say it to you because I love you. I want you to live. All right? All right. I'm going to say amen.
Amen. It's easy to stand around here in church and tell people about Jesus.
Real easy.
Thank you.
Emmeline, it's hard to go home and do it. It's hard to go home and do it. Let's spend our time somewhere besides here talking about
right.
Jesus.
Right. Don't be afraid.
That's right. Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Now let's stand and turn to number 364 and sing Because He Lives.
Yeah.
because he lives. You can face tomorrow because he lives, all fear is gone. Now that we have renewed our spirits, let us go forth with joy and with gladness, knowing that we worship a risen Lord. Let us go forth with fear, without fear, with strength and with courage. Let us go forth in the name of the one who created us, who redeems us, and who forever will sustain.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.